it's all new territory for us. We're like, oh my god, we have not done.
Okay, are we ready for your
package shift?
Alright, that's all. And I'll keep the time on you, but. Yeah, if you just do it later. Okay, you just, yeah, from the computer, we'll see it.
Okay, good morning from me as well. I'll go through the work package two, which is about data collection and documentation, and it has two parts really. One of it has to do with inventory, practices, artisans, and what they create. And the other part is more qualitative and has to do with the role of women in rural crafts and tourism, circular economy, and then also modern manifestations of rural crafts. So the first task focuses on mapping and inventorying, including audiovisual documentation of artisans' practices and artifacts. And this is something all of you will be contributing to, and the information you collect is going to be uploaded to the VIRA platform, which is there, and we have been developing it, and I think it needs further tweaking, but not much. And then the other tasks then have to do, as already mentioned, with modern manifestations of crafts. So it's more artisanal products that draw on craft traditions, especially in rural areas, and again, the kinds of crafts, materials, processes we are talking about have to do with ceramics, metal, wood, and textiles. And then also how it ties in with the circular economy, and then also the role of women. So there are reports to be produced, and also scholarly articles to be written. So first I'll talk more about this task 2.1, mapping and inventorying, because this is what needs to be accomplished first and serves as is supposed to give input to various other work packages ideally. So the methods we'll be using have to do with desktop research, which is something you've already done, documenting visually, audio visual recordings in some cases, and then also observations and interviews, which are kind of staple ethnographic methods. What we will kind of start with is really the persons, practitioners, so artisans, and then looking at the artifacts they produce, and which is kind of the tangible outcome of it, and how they do it is the intangible practices to be documented. And for the purposes of this project, because we are looking on the one hand on people who deal with crafts as a hobby, and on the other hand, people for whom it's a main source of income, we find it useful to distinguish between these two categories, so they are really the focus. I'm not sure you can see it in the back, but it's circulating the slides, of course. And then when we talk about objects or tangibles, artifacts, so it's on the one hand the things that these craft makers produce, and on the other hand it's the tools they use to do these things, because oftentimes the tools also are part of heritage. So the tangible side is the actual physical tools, and then the intangible is how do you use them. And the knowledge and skills that go with it. And then the intangibles are the practices, so techniques and processes, how something is done, and also how do you find the kind of resources. So this is very much tied to circular economy and sustainable development broadly. And then also from the crafters' point of view, how they have learned how they have the knowledge and skills they have, and do they pass them on, which has to do with threats and sustainability again. And then the contexts, various kinds where these practices are practiced, where the objects are used, and linked to it are a kind of more stereotypical intangible cultural heritage phenomena. They could be festivals, rituals, customs, they could be also stories, and you know, I know food waste was mentioned in the application and in the documents. So one can make it really, really broad, but at the same time, we always have to make selections. We can't include quite everything. And so what we'll be working on in October is pilot entries from all of you, and these entries can be based on research that you have already done for other work packages. One of the things why it's taken us a while to figure it out and is that we have been concerned about the kind of how to use the data across work packages most efficiently and then trying to figure out where we stand there. So what we expect by the end of October is that all of you upload information on one, preferably an artisan. So it's somebody whose income entirely or significantly comes from crafts and certain then practices that need to be described there. And what we also want to know is whether this person is available for follow-up interviews. That this could be indicated early on, so if it needs to be, we can reach out to these people. And for the artifacts and the object parts, well, we expect that you'll upload information on two creations, products, and one of them could also be a tool that is used in making these things. And again, there are certain kind of criteria based on which it's going to be described, and we'll send out more detailed outlines, guidelines, and also how to do it on their app. And finally, that you also record two intangibles, so it could be the techniques that these artisans are using. Maybe in some cases there are like specific aspects of the context that are related to it, and that could be described there as well. And both for the artifacts and the kind of practices, we ask that you also describe the threats, and ideally it's how the threats are perceived by the practitioners. So not that you look at it and think, well, this could be it, but ideally what the makers themselves think is a source of kind of threat or source of anxiety for them. And then also the relevant sustainable development goals. So for the purposes of this project, the most pertinent sustainable development goals are goals 9 and between 9, 10, 11, 12, which have to do with the responsible use of resources, work, and other aspects that are of interest to us. So here's the kind of proposed timeline. We'll be tweaking the Vera platform in collaboration with colleagues from University of St. Andrews already. We have some final kind of small adjustments that still could be made to make the platform even kind of a better fit for this project to adapt it a little bit. Then, you know, we'll send you out the guidelines by mid-October, and then you'll have roughly 2 weeks to upload things that you actually have already done for other work packages. So it could be what you have done for the good practices work package, or for the exhibition, for the first kind of kickoff meeting. So it's really by and large things that are there, but then formulating them in such a way that they contribute also to this part of the project. And then we'll take some time in November to assess the outcomes and to kind of double check the guidelines and the platform if needed. And then the documentation phase one will start in earnest in the latter part of November. And then in November and January, we'll be collecting. And we aim to have 130 entries by the end of January. And we'll see what's there. And again, make slight changes if needed. And then this documentation phase one continues, and then so we'll have the first inventory of artisans ready by March 2025. And we expect there to be roughly 450 entries, which is roughly one third of what needs to be there eventually. And so the documentation phase two plans can be confirmed at the meeting in Ljubljana in late March, April 2025. So there's going to be the second documentation phase, and so the first milestone, and which is the inventory completed and public, can be reached by September of next year. And then we'll also start working on the modern manifestations part, and create first the preliminary report and final report, and then also start working on the other tasks which have to do with circular economy and the role of women. And this is where we'll rely more on interviews, and we will collaborate with selected members of your groups who are willing to kind of dig deeper into fieldwork and into these practices, and kind of collaborate on articles with us. And that's why it's important that already at this early stages, we ask of kind of crafters, artisans, whether they are willing and available for follow-up interviews. And so we can kind of choose participants. We've also listed here together, the presentation was prepared in collaboration with Sasha, our questions and concerns. Some of them have kind of started being answered yesterday and today, but some of them I think are really, really of a fundamental nature, and we do not have the answers to them. No one work package does. But they are important with any kind of data collection. So what is it really that people are consenting to when they agree to having their creations uploaded on a platform? This has to do with other work packages and afterlife of the project, really. Then some practical things have to do with the consent forms and the kind of copyright of images, and making sure that the consent forms are actually kind of legible and understandable to people, that there are no linguistic barriers, so we'll need to translate them, and we'll need your help in translating these consent forms. And then something we need to keep an eye on throughout the procedure is the representativeness of the data collected. So what is the selection of remote rural areas? For each of the participating countries, we've talked about how it's very different, what rural and what remote is in different contexts. Then that we have a good balance between the materials, which is something that I think comes up already, that you know there's more on textile and less on something else, so do we want to be balanced? And then whatever other factors and concerns that you have, because this work package is really at the intersections of various other things. And some of the things here are really, really just big. But the consent issue for me is something I think about a lot. Yeah, and that is it. I had one slide about next autumn's project meeting in Miljandi, which is a UNESCO Creative City of Crafts and Folk. And I thank you for attention.